67. Tariana. She caught him by the front of his clothes, jerking him forward right as he started to fall, only the rope tying him to the baggage line keeping him from knocking her over. Marcus? She caught hold of his head, lifting his face. Marcus! But he was still, unconscious, barely breathing.
No.
Hot tears ran down her face, soaking into her scarf. Don't you dare do this. He couldn't die. Not now, after everything they'd gone through to survive. Not like this. And there was nothing she could do. No tools that would help him breathe, no healer she could run to find. She was all he had. And that meant he had nothing. Sobbing, she shoved her fingers inside his scarf, feeling his throat for a pulse. It was weak, but still there. Only his skin felt like ice beneath her hands, and she suspected if she had good light to see by, his lips would be turning blue. She needed to find shelter, get him warmed up, give him a chance to survive. Unfastening the harness, she dragged him away from the edge of the ravine, laying him down behind two boulders that would serve to keep the worst of the wind off of him. Then she ran. Her feet flew over the plateau, the last glow of sunlight fading in the horizon as she raced to the copses of trees. Darkness fell, the only sound the creak of the scraggly trees around her and the howl of the wind. She slowed to a crawl, afraid of falling, of losing her sense of direction and her ability to find Marcus again.
Please, let there be a shelter.
Then she heard it. The snap, snap of cloth flapping in the wind. Moving cautiously, she followed the sound, using the same tricks they used to sail the Quincense in heavy fog, covering one ear, then the other, listening, and then taking a few steps. She found the flag when she collided with the pole, her cheek aching with the impact. Feeling around in the dark, she let out a shout of triumph as she found a gap between two tall rocks. Inside, she crawled on her hands and knees, finding a small pile of wood, a rusty axe, and a box of kindling. With shaking hands, she retrieved her flint and knife, knocking sparks into the dry bits of grass and twigs until one of them caught. The flames revealed she was in a chamber that had been formed by slabs of rocks falling against one another. Other than the wood, there was only a single pot and a heavy piece of canvas that was weighted down by a stone. After building the fire, she cut a strip of the canvas and wrapped it around a piece of wood to make a torch. Then she ran back out into the night. Marcus! She shouted, squinting up at the few stars, orienting herself. Marcus, can you hear me? There was no response but the wind, and dread filled her chest. If he died. Don't think about it, she shouted at herself. You can't afford to think those thoughts. Marcus! She reached the edge of the cliff, moving along it in the direction of the bridge. Please be alive. Marcus! In the flickering glow of her torch, she caught sight of the boulders where she'd hidden him, and Tariana broke into a run. Marcus! Skidding around them, she slid to a stop. He was gone. Marcus? Tariana turned in a circle, searching the darkness for any sign of motion, even as she listened for footsteps. The sound of him breathing, anything. But there was nothing. Marcus! The shriek that tore from her throat was shrill, her heart battering the inside of her ribs as she searched, her eyes filling with a dull roar. Where was he? Where had he gone? Had he moved himself? Or was there someone else out there? Or something? Pulling her knife, Tariana held her dying torch low to the ground, searching for tracks, but the bare rock yielded nothing. Marcus! She winced even as she shouted his name, knowing that if there was anything out there, her voice would lead it straight to her. Her torch flickered and flared as the wind gusted. It wouldn't last her much longer. She needed to go back to the shelter to get more wood, more canvas, and then... "You'll keep looking," she told herself between sobs, heading back down the cliff line. "All night." But even as she spoke the words, Tariana knew if she didn't find him soon, the only thing she'd be likely to discover come dawn was a frozen corpse. Tripping and stumbling, she found her way back, aided by the faint glow of the fire she'd left burning, a heavy weight settling upon her chest. This wasn't supposed to be how it would go. This wasn't supposed to be how it would end. Her torch guttered out as she approached the shelter, and she dropped it to pull off her mittens, to scrub at her burning eyes. And when she opened them, she saw a shadow.
"You jackass!" she shrieked. "I thought you were out there freezing to death, but here you are, warming yourself by my goddamned fire while I stumble around in the dark."
Marcus lifted his head, revealing a face that was ghastly pale and drawn, and he blinked once.
"I came too and you were gone," I thought.
"Do you really think I'd leave you?"
She glared at him for a heartbeat, then flung her arms around his neck.
"If it comes to it," he said, "you need to sit down. I need to sit down."
They both sat cross-legged next to the fire, Marcus taking a few shaky breaths before he continued.
"I need to give you some information, some codes, so that you'll be able to prove your story when you reach Celandriel."
"Piss on your codes," she snapped. "You keep them and use them yourself when we get there." Shaking his head, he pulled a burning stick out of the fire and ground out the flames on the rock. Then he started writing a series of numbers and letters.
"Each pathhunter is given a personal code, as well as provided with the code assigned to the Genesis stem he's exploring. This one belongs to the man who found us in Aranoquia. His name was Nonus, and this is the code for the stem in Bardeen. You'll also need to provide them with as much detail as you can as to where the Genesis stem we took in the city is located, as well as where it landed us in Cyburn."
He lifted his head.
"It was shelter number 203.
She didn't answer.
"This number?"
He wrote, 37-1519
is mine.
As if that number wasn't burned into her soul. Even if she lived to a ripe old age, on her deathbed, she'd be able to close her eyes and see it tattooed across his golden skin. "Thanks for the reminder."
"This code,"
he wrote another series of letters and numbers,
"means I've delegated you to deliver a message."
"This is stupid. I'm never going to be able to remember all of this."
"You have to."
"And just who am I supposed to be giving these to?" she asked. "Cassius? Call me crazy, but I somehow doubt that he's going to hold to our agreement if I show up without you in tow. He'll probably just have one of his lackeys slit my throat and stuff me in a sewer drain." Marcus flinched, then tossed the stick back on the fire as though he were trying to hide the reaction.
"Don't go to Cassius,"
he finally said.
"Disguise yourself when you enter the city, and then arrange to speak with my sister Cordelia."
Tariana sat up straight in surprise.
"She's married to Senator Tiberius Ignatius. Tell her everything."
He met her gaze.
"She's deeply opposed to Cassius. She'll help you."
Given that the information about the Xenthier paths is what Cassius wants, that seems counterintuitive.
"She's against the imprisonment of your people. So for their sakes, she'll help.
Marcus sighed.
And if you must, tell her about us. For my sake, she'll do it.
You haven't seen her since you went to the Legions, Marcus. You're banking an awful lot on stale sentiment.
She sneaked into Lessendor dozens of times to visit me while I was in training, and I spoke to her the night before we left for the Dark Shores. If she's alive, she'll help you. Cordelia is no coward.
Realization flashed through her. That's the woman you were talking to while I was trying to rescue my mother.
Yes.
He turned his head away.
She was trying to convince me not to go, among other things.
What other things?
If, for some reason, you can't get to her, travel to Campus Lessendor and ask to speak to Commandant Wex. Don't use my name. Just send a note saying that the library mouse needs a favor. He'll help you.
Tariana stared at the codes he'd written, feeling them sink into her memory despite her best intentions. To have them there felt so final, because she no longer needed him to get her people free. But that didn't mean she didn't need him in 100 other ways. A hot tear dribbled down her cheek, and she brushed it away angrily. You're giving up then?
No.
He rested his chin on his knees, the flames sending shadows dancing across his face.
I'll keep going, but there are...
He coughed.
8 more bridges like that one. Me having another attack is inevitable. Even if I don't fall, having attack after attack is going to kill me. You need to be prepared.
Cool, pragmatic, logical.
You don't need me, he said.
Tariana didn't. Not to survive this, not to make it to Celandriel, not to force Cassius to hold to the letter of their agreement. But her heart needed him. Maybe not. But I most certainly want you. And if you even think of presuming to tell me what I do or do not want, I'll push you off the side of a cliff. Marcus didn't laugh. Instead, he squeezed his eyes shut, his throat moving as he swallowed. Cool pragmatism gone and replaced with something that was worse.
Don't,
she whispered. Then closed the distance between them, her knees on either side of him, pulling him against her. A shudder ran through him. Then he relaxed, his forehead resting against her shoulder. We'll see what morning brings, all right? We both need sleep, but you especially. His head nodded against her in acknowledgement, but he didn't let go of her. Instead, he pulled her down into his lap, their bodies pressed together. Lifting a hand, he cupped her face, his thumb stroking her cheek, his eyes searching hers. Then he kissed her. It was slow and sweet, pulling a whimper from her lips. But then it turned harder, his tongue chasing over hers, one hand tangling in her hair, the other sliding over the curve of her bottom. She closed her eyes, heat filling her, as his teeth caught at her bottom lip, causing her to rock her hips against him, wanting more, wanting everything. But then he paused, both of them breathing the same air, hearts pounding the same rhythm.
Don't stop, she whispered. Please, don't stop.
The kiss he gave her was again sweet, gentle, and it felt more like a goodbye than anything he could possibly have said.
We'll make a decision in the morning,
he said, lifting her off him.
Get some rest, Tariana.
Her stomach hollowed as she curled up in his arms, silent tears dripping down her cheeks. Waiting, waiting for his breathing to deepen into sleep. Only then did she shift, fingers moving over him to slip into his belt pouch, deftly sorting through the contents until she found what she was looking for. There was no one else in the world like him. No one else capable of making her feel like this. She loved him, and she wasn't going to God's damned let him go without a fight. Tariana rose just before dawn, easing Marcus's head out of her lap and resting it on her folded cloak. They'd taken turns at watch, mostly out of the necessity of feeding the fire. And when he'd slept, it had been fitfully, though that was nothing new. She took stock of the supplies they had that would be of use to her, considered what, out of necessity, she'd need to leave behind. As she gathered items into various piles, she noticed that during one of his watches, Marcus had scrubbed away the codes he'd written, leaving behind only smears of soot. A flicker of hope filled her chest that he'd changed his outlook on the day ahead, but then she saw tiny bits of leather littering the floor. Scowling, she lifted up one foot, peering at the bottom where he'd scratched the very same codes into the sole while she'd slept. "You won't win this fight," she told him, but he only muttered something unintelligible and rolled onto one side. Retrieving the kettle, she went outside in search of ice to melt, then stoked the fire, smoke escaping through the openings in the rocks above as she watched the wood burn. Her stomach growled painfully, and already she felt lightheaded and weak from the lack of food, which, given what she needed to do today, was not ideal. She'd do it anyway. Marcus was stirring. Taking the vial she'd hidden in her boot, Tariana carefully measured the drops into a tin cup, which she then filled with water, swirling the contents with her finger before turning around. "It's dawn," she said, handing him the cup. "We need to get moving." Marcus didn't answer, only drained the contents of the cup in a few long gulps, then stretched his arms and legs, his face blank and unreadable. Tariana packed the things they needed into their respective satchels, one eye for the task and one for him. It wouldn't take long. Sure enough, he swayed sharply, colliding with the wall of the cave. "I'm just hungry," he muttered. "It'll pass." Tariana stood. "I'm really sorry," she said, "but I'm not going to let you die." Alarm filled his gaze.
"Tariana, no."
"I'm sorry." She clenched her teeth, watching as the drug took hold and rushed forward at the last moment as he fell, his weight knocking her from her feet. A reminder of just how hard this was going to be. But there was no time to waste. Scrambling round the cave, she bundled him up as best she could, sacrificing much of her own clothing to ensure he didn't freeze. Exertion was going to keep her warm. Outside, she chopped down two skinny trees with the rusty axe and dragged them into the cave. Using the canvas, she swiftly formed a litter, which she rolled Marcus onto, using ropes to bind one end to her waist so she wouldn't spend the strength in her arms before necessary. Then, she loaded the satchels onto the litter, doused the fire, and started walking. The sky was gray and overcast, the wind mercifully absent, though it would pick up through the day. Tariana dragged the litter across the plateau, sweat coating her skin after only a few minutes, her pulse pounding. "You've lost your mind," a little voice whispered inside her head. "This is impossible. You're in no condition for it. You're not strong enough. You're going to get both of you killed." She ignored it. Reaching the next bridge, she eyed the gap over the ravine, ice and rapids flowing far below. She checked Marcus's pulse and rolled him off the litter, then created a harness for him. Hauling him up on top of a pile of rocks she created beneath the baggage cable, she flung the rope over it, forming a loop much as she had before. Then she pushed him off the rocks. Marcus dangled limply in the harness, neck lolling to one side as he swung. She swiftly looped the rope around her own body, then, after checking her knots again, climbed on the bridge in front of him. She took a couple steps, then let go of the cable with one hand and reached back to take hold of his arm and tug him forward. Another few steps, another tug. Each time she had to let go of the cable, her heart skittered, the line beneath her feet seeming to wobble and sway with more intensity as she struggled to keep her balance. She couldn't lean on the cable she gripped with her left hand, nor pull on it too hard, or the bridge would tip sideways. And it was painfully slow. In the length of time it took her to reach the midpoint, she could have crossed back and forth thrice on her own. And she had to get this done today. Keeping Marcus unconscious for any longer would be too dangerous, and he wouldn't fall for the same trick twice. Get the job done. Reaching the other side, she stepped down onto the plateau, pulling Marcus along until they reached the boulder to which the lines were bolted. She pulled loose the knot above him and staggered beneath his weight, falling sideways as she eased him to the ground. Unfastening the harness, Tariana looped the rope over her shoulders and scampered back across to repeat the process with the litter and the supplies. One bridge down, seven more to go. The day turned into a blur of repeated steps as the sun passed overhead. Harness Marcus, get him loaded onto the baggage line, pull him across, do the same to the supplies, rebuild the litter, load Marcus on the litter, drag him to the next bridge. By the time she reached the last ravine she needed to cross, Tariana was shaking with exhaustion and nausea, her hands abraded from the ropes and every muscle in her body screaming abuse. "Only one more," she muttered, "then you'll be done." But one more felt impossible as she stared at the expanse of bridge, the longest yet, and the late day wind rising in strength. She needed to rest to regain her strength. But the sun was setting, and Marcus was dangerously cold. Three times she'd had to stop to warm his hands and feet, his skin icy against her overheated flesh. She had given him two more doses of narcotic, but she was terrified to give him any more. Too much was lethal, would stop his heart. And every time she held her fingers to his throat to check his pulse, she swore it was weaker. She had to cross, now. It was almost more than she could manage to lift Marcus up and fasten him to the line, her body shaking with the effort. The wind howled in her ears, and her fingers were numb from being exposed to the cold while she worked. Knotting his harness to hers, Tariana started forward, bracing her feet against where the vertical side ropes were wrapped around the foot cable. Marcus sliding down the overhead line. Due to its length, the slope down to the midpoint was more dramatic than that of the other bridges, making Tariana feel as though she were climbing down a ladder rather than walking across a bridge, Marcus's weight threatening to pull her loose with every step. The wind gusted, sending them whipping from side to side and forcing her to cling to the cables, her bottom pressed against the footline until the swinging ceased. Her heart thundered, sweat pouring down her forehead and into her eyes, her mouth so dry she could barely swallow. She reached the midpoint, which was alarmingly far beneath the cliff tops, meaning she was now faced with a climb, and she had almost nothing left to give. The wind struck. The bridge swung to the side, then snapped back in the other direction. Again and again, causing Marcus's body to slam against her, nearly knocking her loose. A sob of terror tore from her lips as the wind battered her with no respite, making it nearly impossible to climb. Finally, it eased, and Tariana clambered forward, locking her feet against the cross ropes and dragging herself up by the cables with Marcus's limp form trailing along behind. Up and up she climbed, breath coming in ragged gasps, her side stitched with cramps. Up and up. Then, as she pulled on the right cable, it suddenly gave. A scream tore from her throat as she fell forward, losing her grip on the other cable. She slammed against the footline, barely getting her arms and one leg around it as her body swung around, back hanging above the river, raging 300 feet below. Frozen in place, she hung there, the wind blowing her from side to side, Marcus unconscious and helpless above her.
The six help me. The six help me. The six help me.
She sobbed, tears running down her face. Then, a snap filled the air, and the footline jerked. Tilting her head back so that she could see, Tariana stared in horror at the dangling ropes, the only thing holding the bridge in place, the footline. And if the two cables had already broken loose, what were the chances the third would hold?
Climb.
Arms and legs wrapped around the remaining cable, she climbed, the harness at her waist taut as she dragged Marcus with her. The incline grew the closer she got to the other side, but she didn't pause to see how much farther there was to go. There was no time. Hand over hand, her weight resting on the strength of her legs. But they were quivering, her energy nearly spent. Her hands ached beneath her mittens, grip weakening as she reached for the knots where the cables had been linked together, a fiery burn filling her shoulders, her neck. Her sides were cramped so badly she could barely breathe, but she was almost there, almost to the edge. Tilting her head back, she saw the cliff's edge was only an arm length away. Then another snap filled the air, and she was falling. The wind rushed out of her lungs as the harness around her body jerked tight, the rope attaching her to Marcus the only thing keeping her from plunging to her death. She screamed as she flipped upside down, both of them sliding down the baggage line, the world a twist of whites and grays and blacks, wind ripping her hood back from her head as their momentum grew. They slid to a halt at the halfway point between the two cliffs, the baggage line bowing beneath their combined weight as they swung back and forth. She couldn't breathe. Rapid little gasps brought no relief, nor the ragged sobs that made her feel like her body was being torn in two. Stars filled her eyes, and it felt again like she was falling, falling into a darkness that she'd never find her way out of.
You're hyperventilating. Calm down.
Some reserve of logic filtered up into her thoughts, warring with her terror.
You aren't dead yet. Think of a way out of this.
Sucking in a deep breath, she held it, then blew it out. Repeated the process over and over until the stars cleared. Twisting so that she no longer dangled upside down, she shouted,
Marcus, wake up! I need you to wake up.
He didn't move, didn't so much as twitch. And part of her wondered if he was still alive, or if he'd frozen to death, or if she'd stopped his heart with the narcotics, whether she'd sacrificed herself to save a corpse. And with the thoughts, panic crept back in. So she shouted,
Get your head on straight, Tariana. Hop to.
Her voice echoed through the ravine, chastising her again and again. Reaching, she tried to pull herself up the rope, linking her and Marcus together, but her mittened hands slipped. Grimacing, she pulled them off and tucked them in her belt, immediately feeling the bite of cold against her skin. She needed to move fast while she still had feeling in them, and before the baggage cable, which was all that was keeping them from falling, gave way like the others. Teeth clenched together, she heaved, pulling herself up until she was able to grab hold of his harness. Marcus's back was to her, and she couldn't tell if he was still breathing, but she needed both her hands to hold on, so it was impossible to check. Adrenaline fueling her, she snarled and climbed up the 3 feet of rope between Marcus and the baggage cable, gasping in relief when she was able to hook her legs over it and relieve the strain on her exhausted arms.
You need to check if he's still breathing, Logic told her. And if he isn't, you'll have to cut him loose to ease the weight on the cable.
Every part of her cringed at the thought. To cut him loose and watch him fall. Watch him hit the rocks and ice below.
To hear that sound. If he's dead, he's past caring.
But she wasn't.
Shut your mouth!
She screamed at the voice, hating it because it was part of her that was saying it. An ugly part that she despised and wanted nothing to do with.
He's alive!
She howled at it.
And I'm getting us out of this.
You could at least check.
Fuck you!
Her voice slammed against the walls of the ravine. Sucking in a deep breath, Tariana climbed. Hand over hand, the rope pinched between the bend of her knee and the curve of her foot, she climbed. Her palms burned and bled, her fingers growing more numb with each passing second as the wind assaulted her from all sides, trying to knock her loose, trying to steal him from her.
I can do this.
Up and up, her muscles stinging as they tore, tendons straining, her head throbbing. Her nose started to bleed, the iron taste filling her mouth and making her cough as it dripped into her throat.
I will do this.
Her body was shaking, broken and spent, but she kept it going, fueling it with willpower and the desire to live. And then there was solid rock beneath her. But she kept going, kept climbing until her frozen knuckles hit the stone the line was mounted to.
Okay.
She closed her eyes, tears leaking out from under her eyelids.
Okay.
Unhooking her legs, she dropped to the ground, the world still seeming to move despite the solid rock beneath her feet as she put on her mittens. She couldn't reach high enough to unfasten the knot holding Marcus's harness to the baggage line, so she pulled out her knife. She used her left hand to hold the fingers of her right closed on the hilt so that she could saw at the rope, and wrapped one arm around him when there were only a few fibers left to cut. She fell backward under his weight, fresh tears welling up as her elbow and head banged against the ground.
Please.
The words came out as a whisper, and she coughed, trying to spit out blood, but it only ran down her chin as she used the last of her strength to roll him onto his back and loosen the scarf around his face.
Please.
He was blanched, deathly pale. Even his lips drained of color, and she couldn't tell if he was breathing.
No.
She sobbed the word, shoving her frozen fingers against his throat. He was still warm, but she couldn't feel a pulse. A strange whimpering filled her ears, and it took her a moment to realize that it was her. But she couldn't seem to stop making the sound. She held her cheek over his mouth, waiting for the warmth of breath. But her own face was so numb, she wasn't sure she'd feel it even if it were there.
Marcus.
Nothing. Rage filled her. An awful, consuming heat, but she welcomed it because it was better than the alternative.
Marcus.
She slammed her fists down on his chest. And he stirred, made a soft noise of protest. Then, very slowly, he opened his eyes.
Tariana?